Grace and peace be unto you from God, who is our Father and our Mother, and from Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and our Savior. Amen. So how many of you got gifts this morning? Nobody. Well, you see, there is a tradition in some parts of Latin America and also in Africa that it is not Santa Claus, but it is the three kings that bring gifts to the children. Well, in Puerto Rico, we have it both ways. We have both Santa Claus and the three kings that bring us gifts. And on the eve of Epiphany, children go outside with their parents and they gather grass, unless it's covered by snow, which in Puerto Rico is not a problem. And they gather grass and they put it in shoe boxes. And they also put some water because you see the camels are bringing the three kings from really far from the Orient, carrying gifts to honor the birth of Jesus by giving those gifts to the children. And those camels need to eat and need to drink. And so to this day, my children put grass and water and they receive gifts. So I'm so sorry that you did not get gifts. Maybe you were a little bit naughty this year. Maybe you'll be better next year, maybe. But of course, it is not about the gifts that the three kings are about. There is a reason why this story is in the book of Matthew. And as a matter of fact, in the story, it doesn't say anything about them being three. It was probably a group of magi is the word that is used from the Orient. We say three because of the kings that they brought. Kings of gold, kings of gifts of gold, gifts of incense, and the gift of myrrh. But what it's important about these men in the gospel is not the gifts that they bring, but who they were. It is very interesting that Matthew chooses to put this story at the very beginning of the gospel, and it embodies a lot of what Jesus is going to stand for. It embodies a lot of what the gospel is about. Now think about this. The first people to recognize that this child, that this Jesus, was the one Messiah that God had promised were not of the same country that Jesus was. They came from outside. They came from Persia, what today is Iran, probably. They were outsiders. They're the first ones that come to recognize Jesus as the Messiah, as the King of the Jews. It gets more interesting even, because the word used to describe them is Magi. And now we translated a little bit more softly by calling them wise men. There's an Italian play of words, traditore, traduttore. The translator is a traitor, because sometimes in translation you betray the meaning of the text. No, they were magi. That means that they practiced magic. That means that they dedicated themselves to reading the stars and other shady forms of predicting the future, which are strictly forbidden in the Old Testament, with the death penalty. Now, of all the gospel writers, Matthew is the one that quotes the Old Testament the most. Matthew knows the Old Testament really well. This is not an accident. What is Matthew saying to us when the very first group of people to recognize the Messiah as such are foreigners that are practitioners of other religions and strange practices? You see, I think it's taken us 2,000 years to really fully understand how radical the gospel is. And I think it might take us another 2,000 years to continue to accept it and to understand it. But I think that today it's extremely important that the church appreciates that message, because what it anticipates is that the ministry of Jesus, that what Jesus is about, is bringing people together, not apart. It tells us that the ministry of the incarnation of God is a ministry of healing. See, when the body parts, when the body divides and it doesn't work in harmony, it gets sick. And then when it's able to come back together and work in harmony, then you have health again. So I think that right now we live in a world that is ill. We live in a world that is sick. We live in a nation that is sick because of the forces that try to divide us. Now, this last week was a very sad week in the history of our nation for two different reasons. Now, there are more, but I want to single out two. One of them was the trial of Dylann Roof. Have you been following that? You know, the young man who was poisoned by prejudice and xenophobia and hate, and walk into an African American church, an AME church, sat through Bible study with them, and then at the end of it, massacred them just because they were black. And then last week, I have not had the stomach to read the whole story, but I heard something about a group of African American men, African American young men, that singled out a white young man who apparently was suffering of some kind of mental illness and gave him a terrible beating. You see what happens when we feed the poison of division in our society, the fears of us versus them, of white versus black, of Latino versus black, of foreigners versus local, of Christians versus Muslim. You know, in the Bible, that is called demonic. Not because there is an invisible being making people do things. It's just the way we call that force, from diabolic, which means in Greek, diabolos, to tear asunder, to tear apart, to divide apart. That is what the diabolic forces do. That is not what the Christ does. The Messiah is born to bring together what the demonic forces are trying to tear apart. And so today is very important that the church receive that message and receive that which the world tries to tear apart. But there's more, because the kings, the magi that came from foreign lands, they did not come empty-handed. They were bringing gifts. And you already told me they were gifts of gold, of incense, and of myrrh. And they have been interpreted to mean signs of the ministry of Jesus. So the gold means that he was to be king. And the myrrh symbolizes his sacrifice, his death, was used for embalming bodies. And the incense is what they used to burn to pray to God, because when you see the smell and the smoke of the incense going up, it reminds you how your prayers go up to God. So you see, they brought this gift, and then the gifts were transformed, were transfigured into something new, into new meaning. But they also represent the best that this country's had to offer. They represent the best that the Magi have to give. So they brought gifts to the Magi. The Magi brought gifts to Jesus. And I want us also to remember that when we receive people into our church, when we receive people into our country, they don't come empty-handed. Maybe they come because they need help. They're refugees. They are poor. But they also have something that they bring that they have to offer. And I learned that in a very interesting way last year during the process of seeing my father die with my sister. We spent a lot of time in the hospital, in the ICU. And you see, I think that I am a pastor because of my father's religiosity. He was a very deeply religious man. He took his faith very seriously. But we belong to different traditions. And in his traditions, he was very strict about what type of behaviors were appropriate, what types of people were acceptable and what was not. And tattoos, to give you an example, were out, definitely out. It was an amazing thing for my sister and I and my cousin to sit there in that ICU room and to see people, person after person that belonged to all those different categories come and give help to my father, give him comfort, and actually be the hands of God for him. And so it is not just a matter that we are open to receiving others because they are in need and because we can help them, but it is also a matter that they bring gifts. They are bearing gifts to enrich our country, to enrich our church. And may we learn to see the other, not with suspicion, although we always have to be careful, of course, but those that are like me are also dangerous. We like each other. But to see the other with curiosity, asking not only how can I help the other, but also I wonder what gift God brings to this community by way of the other, what light the other brings to this community. Amen.